सवितुर्वरेण्यं भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। May we meditate on that Supreme Being who dwells in the hearts of all. He is the source and sustenance of this universe. In Him we live, move, and have our being. May He illumine our hearts and may He guide us in every way. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. We have been studying the Viveka Chudamani and the Crest Jewel of Discrimination by the great seer philosopher Shankara. The Atman is pure consciousness, clearly manifest as underlying the states of waking, dreaming, and dreamless sleep. It is inwardly experienced as unbroken consciousness, the consciousness that I am I. It is the unchanging witness that experiences the ego, the intellect, and the rest with their various forms and changes. It is realized within one's own heart as existence, knowledge, and bliss absolute. Realize this Atman within the shrine of your own heart. Now, this really sums up the whole philosophy of non-dualistic Vedanta. The Atman is the Self, the true Self, the true being within us. Now, what is this sense of ego that we have? What is that? That is consciousness, pure consciousness, which is Atman and which is identical with God. Pure consciousness is God. And that is the Atman, the indwelling God, reflected upon mind, body. You see, the body seems to feel conscious, can feel a touch. The mind can think, feel, will. But this is all borrowed consciousness from the consciousness of Atman. And so the pure consciousness, we are not conscious of that pure consciousness. But whenever we are conscious of anything, it is a thing that we are conscious of. There are always contents of consciousness. Through that power of consciousness, through that power of God, I see this, I see you, I can think, I can walk. This is all borrowed consciousness. And pure consciousness, we have not yet realized. In our waking state, in our dreaming state, in our deep sleep state, there is that pure consciousness is underlying. I am conscious in my waking state. That consciousness, that pure consciousness is underlying. I am in dreaming. There is that consciousness underlying. In deep sleep also, there is that consciousness underlying, because when we wake up, there is a continuity of identity. I am I. and there is a continuity of consciousness in deep sleep too. This is of course a deep subject, and unnecessarily I do not wish to go into it. But the main point is this: if that underlying consciousness was not in deep sleep, then we'd lose our identity. And so I am I, this consciousness is there, in spite of all the changes. That also is the consciousness, the pure consciousness of the Atman. And as I said, that within these three states, there is that play of the consciousness. And that consciousness reflected upon, as we have already seen, physical and mind, body, mind, senses, sense organs, reflecting upon that gives us this sense of ego, this empirical ego. Now the point is this, that we are within the bounds, within the limitations of this empirical ego, as long as we are within the waking state, within the dreaming state, and within the state of sleep. Now, of course, in this connection I may point out that in the Western psychology, they say consciousness is the property of the mind. You see, there are two schools of thought, materialists and idealists. The materialists consider that consciousness is a product in the process, and it is not always present. The idealists believe that mind, its nature is consciousness. Then the problem they cannot solve. If the property of the mind is consciousness, how is it possible for the mind to be unconscious? If the property of the fire is to give heat, that heat will always be there. But mind is not always conscious, it becomes unconscious. And also, as I pointed out, that we have this identity, continuity of identity, I am I. And we remain within the boundary, within the limitations of our ego, empirical ego, empirical self, within these three states of consciousness. When we transcend these three states of consciousness, then we get to the pure consciousness. Then the ego has dropped away. And that is what they call samadhi. Now, how are we to proceed? You see, it says, it is realized within one's own heart as existence, knowledge and bliss absolute. That is how it is experienced. Realize thus this Atman within the shrine of your own heart. Now the question is, who is to realize? Because I am that. But I'm not conscious of it. So within these three states of consciousness, I'm asleep. I have to wake up. Now, how to wake up? That is the problem. As long as there is the empirical ego, the empirical self, and we identify ourselves with the empirical self, so long, there is no liberation, no realization, no experience of God. Now, this empirical self, for instance, one who is following the path of devotion or love, he is also trying to get rid of this empirical self. With the help of this ego, with the help of this empirical ego, we have to transcend this ego. This ego is given to us in order that we can transcend. I have many times explained to you how, in the lower forms of life, this ego is not yet evolved. Self-consciousness is not evolved. As such, they have to wait until this self-consciousness is evolved. So, only in human birth, it is possible to realize the self, to realize God. And because self-consciousness is evolved in the human birth, in human life. Now, you meditate, you make japa, you surrender yourself to God, you are thinking of God, you are keeping the collectedness of God. This is contemplative life. Then also, you are doing some good work. For somebody you are doing it. And what are you trying to do? To get rid of this little empirical self. When you try to do something for somebody, of course with this idea that I am not a big man, that I'm a big man and so I'm doing it. Not with that idea. But if you do with the idea of selfless idea, you see, behind all good works, there is this idea of selflessness. You are trying to get rid of this empirical ego. All ethical principles, all moral principles have this one ideal. What is ethical life? To be selfless. Self-abnegation. That's ethical life. Now, self-abnegation in what way? When you try to do something for another, when you are sacrificing your little self for the sake of others, you see, that's ethical life, that's moral life. Then you are trying to rise above that ego, above that empirical self. So, both these processes, through meditation, through contemplation, and through this selfless work, selfless action, this ego is to be transcended. Sri Ramakrishna said, there are two kinds of ego. One is that leads us beyond ego, and another that binds us to this empirical self more and more. And so we have to have that ego in order to transcend this ego. Now, what is that kind of ego? Ego of knowledge, Ramakrishna says. And that ego of knowledge is, I'm a child of God. I like to see Brahman. I'm trying to see God within the shrine of my own heart. And as I'm trying to see God within the shrine of my own heart, I'm trying to see God within the shrine of in the heart of all people. You see, that same indwelling God dwelling everywhere. And so, that way only we can free ourselves from this empirical self. And this much, try to understand. And make that ideal in your life. As long as we remain limited within our little empirical self, there can be no joy, no freedom, no happiness. For instance, if one becomes self-centered, always thinking of his empirical self, oh, that fellow doesn't like me. This fellow doesn't like me. You see, self-centered. Why should not everybody like me? Self-centered. I must learn to like everybody. I must learn to love everybody. That must be the idea. And the less, you know, the Christian mystics also will tell you this, that the more you get rid of this ego, you become filled with the consciousness of God. The Atman is pure consciousness, clearly manifest as underlying the states of waking, dreaming and dreamless sleep, is inwardly experienced as unbroken consciousness, the consciousness that I am I. You see, this is an experience, universal experience. In other words, you know what St. Paul has said, we live, move and have our being in God. This is literally true. We are always living in God. It is the unchanging witness that experiences the ego, the intellect and the rest with their various forms and changes. It is realized within one's own heart as existence, knowledge and bliss absolute. Realize this Atman within the shrine of your own heart. Now again I must point out this truth, that though we say it is Sat-Chit Ananda, knowledge, existence, knowledge and bliss absolute, that's what how we translate, or as abiding happiness and pure consciousness and infinite love, any way we can translate and define those, but they do not give exactly what this means, because this happiness, what we may call, or this knowledge, what we may call, or this love or bliss, whatever you may call, is not what we know them to be. For instance, and that is why Jesus said, peace that passeth understanding. You see, that passeth understanding. And in the Gita we find, in the 6th chapter, how it speaks of, you realize that happiness which is beyond the grasp of the senses and the mind. So what that is not expressible. It's something inexpressible. The fool sees the reflection of the sun in the water of a jar and thinks it is the sun. Man, in the ignorance of his delusion, sees the reflection of pure consciousness upon the coverings and mistakes it for the real eye. You see, very wonderful illustration. There is a jar of water, and you see the sun reflected upon that water, and perfect reflection. Now again, you see there are many jars you can have, and you will see the same sun reflected perfectly, completely in each of these jars. This is a very wonderful illustration, also to prove that there is just one Atman, just that there is one sun. But the jars are different, and in each of these jars there is that reflection of the sun completely. So there are not many souls, but many reflections. There is one sun. Now this pure consciousness, again of course, this should not be taken on all fours. It's an illustration. The sun is way above there. But this sun, this pure consciousness, is in every one of us. And it is reflected in every one of us. That is one only. I think St. Augustine beautifully expressed it. He defined God as the whose center is everywhere, but circumference nowhere, whose center is everywhere. So that center is everywhere, and it's one center. One God, one Atman. Now reflected upon your jar of body and mind gives you the sense of I. And you consider that reflected consciousness as the real I. This is through ignorance. This is the delusion. This is what we call Maya. The fool sees the reflection of the sun in the water of a jar and thinks it is the sun. Man, in the ignorance of his delusion, sees the reflection of pure consciousness upon the coverings, that is, mind, body, and prana, and intellect, and sees this reflection upon the coverings and mistakes it for the real I. In order to look at the sun, you must turn away from the jar, the water, and the sun's reflection in the water. The wise know that these three are only revealed by the reflection of the self-luminous sun. They are not the sun itself. The body, the covering of intellect, the reflection of consciousness upon it, none of these is the Atman. It's all very clear. The body, the covering of intellect, the reflection of consciousness upon it, none of these is the Atman. The Atman is the witness. Infinite consciousness, revealer of all things, but distinct from all, no matter whether they may be gross or subtle, is the witness. You see what is going on in your mind. He's the witness. He knows everything. You know, it's very interesting if you can think of these ideas. They are most wonderful. We have a saying that God knows or can hear even the walk of an ant. You see, because he's the witness there. He's the Atman. The Atman is there. He sees the leaf that falls from the tree. He's the witness there. You see. So anything that goes in our mind and thoughts, and whatever we do and think, consciously or unconsciously, knowingly or unknowingly, is the witness. He knows everything. And if you have this awareness, you know, your whole life will be transformed. One time, Swami Turiyananda said that as he took every step, as he would take every step, he would feel it's not he that has the power to walk, but it is that pure consciousness that gives the power to the leg to move. So you see, in every movement, in every action, you have the awareness of that pure consciousness. We are using God all the time. Be aware of that. And then gradually forget all these many and be absorbed in that one. The Atman is the witness, infinite consciousness, revealer of all things, but distinct from all, no matter whether they be gross or subtle. You see, he is not affected by our thoughts. He within you, the indwelling God, is not affected by your deeds, good or bad. But he knows all. It is the eternal reality, omnipresent, all-pervading, the subtlest of all subtleties. It is neither inside nor outside. It's the real I, hidden in the shrine of the heart. Realize fully the truth of the Atman. be free from evil and impurity, and you shall pass beyond death. Know the Atman. Transcend all sorrows and reach the fountain of joy. Be illumined by this knowledge and you have nothing to fear. What wonderful truth. We live in fear all the time. But again, if you live in fear, it's good if you hold on to the Lord. What is that Lord? Where is that Lord? That's your Atman. That's the Atman. I did not say your Atman. That's the Atman. That's God. And have your attention or be aware of that presence. Then there is no fear. All fear goes away. Nothing can touch you then. Be illumined by this knowledge and you have nothing to fear. If you wish to find liberation, there is no other way of breaking the bonds of rebirth. What can break the bondage and misery of this world? The knowledge that the Atman is Brahman. Then it is that you realize Him who is one without a second, and who is the absolute bliss. Realize Brahman, and there will be no more returning to this world, the home of all sorrows. You must realize absolutely that the Atman is Brahman. Then you will be in Brahman forever. As once you realize it, you have attained for eternity. He is the truth, His existence and knowledge, He is absolute, He is pure and self-existent, He is eternal, unending joy, He is none other than the Atman. You see, this really there's nothing much to explain, but these are words. A simple meaning, if you could meditate upon these. The Atman is one with Brahman. This is the highest truth. Brahman alone is real. There is none but He. Here again He is coming to that very highest truth. You see, everything has disappeared. There is none but He. When He is known as the Supreme Reality, there is no other existence but Brahman. Now may I invite questions?
The oral questions from the audience are being revoiced due to their being off mic during the original recording. Swami, are we struggling to be the witness to our own actions?
No. Not struggling to be witness. Witness is the Atman. Witness is God. But you try to catch up with that witness. Not try to be the witness. But identify yourself with that witness, but that's an experience, that's a realization. But I said, that witness is God. Brahman, Atman, not yet you. You are empirical self, you see. Now, surrender yourself to that. Think of Him. Get the idea? We'd make a mistake if we consider this empirical self as the witness and Atman. That would be blasphemy in a way.
Would that be a form of detachment, to be the witness of your own self?
Well, if you can do that. But I'd say that better try to think of the Lord, the chosen ideal, that is the Atman, that is Brahman. And sometimes, yes, try to identify yourself with the chosen Lord. That's all right. If you do not anymore think of yourself as a little I.
Isn't that the danger of the ego?
Not exactly danger of egotism, but there is the danger that you miss the gold. You see, there is, we call that Punjabi Vedanta. This is their idea. The universe is non-existent. Brahman alone is. I am Brahman. This is the truth to be experienced, to be realized. But a Punjabi Vedantist will say, this is the truth. So whatever I do, that's also illusion. No real, not real. And so, whatever kind of life one may live, it doesn't matter. You see, there was one such fellow came to Dakshineswar when Sri Ramakrishna was living. And when he told him like that, Sri Ramakrishna said, I spit on your Vedanta.
Swami Turiyananda used to emphasize that we have to be so very careful what we do.
Yes, of course we have to be careful. Of what we do, yeah.
What we think and how we think.
Yes, sure. And you know, in one place he said, when Swamiji spoke of I, he always identified himself with the Atman, because he had that experience all the time. And then he said, when we say I, it is the little empirical self. And so then it is mother. Swamiji also said that when I feel well, I say I am he. When I have a stomachache, I say, oh mother.
Swami, between death and rebirth, the empirical ego is still there.
Yes. The mind is there.
And the Atman, of course.
Yes.
And is it easier to think, to realize God without the body?
Yeah, but you get another body anyway. You see, in the other world also, you get another body.
You have to realize God in this body or at death, don't you?
Yes.
There is no realizing God after death, is there?
No. But I tell you, just if you consider yourself free, liberated, you are liberated. And that kind of confidence and faith you must have. I have taken the name of the Lord. I chant the name of the Lord. I'm free. You see, where is the bondage? In the mind. Think yourself bound, you are bound. Think yourself free, you are free. There you'll make no mistake. But that kind of, you know, thinking of yourself as free would not make you egotistic.
When they say to meditate on death, do they mean to meditate on the death of the ego? Last night in the Swami's lecture...
Oh, gee, that's something I don't understand. Now go on, what the Swami lecture and what you got out of it. All right, tell me.
He said to meditate on death.
Meditate on death? Not exactly that. How can you meditate on death? Death is death. And I think what Swami means is this. Meditate how this life is so ephemeral, is so fleeting. You see? And so that you can think of that or meditate upon that which is eternal. See, we are supposed to meditate upon that which is eternal, which is abiding, and which is distinct from non-eternal. But you see, Buddha, for instance, always said, see how fleeting everything else, and meditate upon that. The vanity of everything. Meditate upon the vanity of everything. That how everything ends in death. You see, Swami must have meant that. But I don't see how you can meditate on death.
Didn't Sri Ramakrishna used to go to the graveyard?
Yes, sure. And see the ephemeral, and you know, some Catholic sects, they keep a skull on their desk to see that how, to meditate that how it will end that way. And so better cling to God.
Swami, what do you mean by Mother God?
Well, the same, what do you mean by Father God? God can be Father, God can be Mother, God can be it. Masculine, feminine, neuter. You see, Brahman and Shakti, the power that creates, preserves, and that destroys this universe. That power is called Mother, Shakti. And that Mother and Brahman again are not separate. When Brahman and Mother, or this power, engages in the act of creation, that is, when we see this universe, it's the Mother's manifestation, it's the power of Brahman. So that's what we call Mother. One time, I remember, one lady said, Swami, I don't like to think of God as he or she. I like to think of him as it. I said, good for you. You know, at one time, there is in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, how in the image of Mother Kali, there is a sacred thread. And generally, sacred thread is not used by female deities or women. Only men has this thread, sacred thread. And so somebody remarked to this man who put that sacred thread on Mother, how is it you can put that sacred thread on Mother? And he said, well, brother, perhaps you know better than I. But up to now, I have not been able to realize whether she is Mother or Father or what she is, I do not know. So he is everything, you see. He is our Father, he is our Mother, he is our friend, he is our beloved, he is everything.
Do you mean that the I that I am is the sum total of my thinking?
Sum total of your thinking is in the mind, and Atman is separate from the sum total of your thinking. Atman is not the thinking. Atman is the power that makes your mind think. And there is no sum total there, just unit, one, without a second. indwelling God. I think that would be better understood. Indwelling God. Is that sum total of anything? The kingdom of God is within. That means there is the God dwelling within you. And that indwelling God is the Atman. One with God, one with Brahman. भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस मे ही गाइड अस मे ही गिव अस स्ट्रेंथ एंड राइट अंडरस्टैंडिंग. May we have love for all. May our study bring light unto us. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace.